You are listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm Elizabeth Press, and I'm here today with Angela Beeler, a PhD candidate in the Electronic Arts Program at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. We're here to talk about her current work. And Angela, why don't we just dive right into it? Tell us what you're working on.
Thanks for having me. I am working on a project that will be presented at MPAC on April 26th, Friday, 7 p.m., and it has the title MG, aka I Want a Baby Reimagined. It's an experimental piece based around a play that was written in 1926 in the former Soviet Union by Sergei Tretyakov called I Want a Baby. And it centers on a cultural worker, Milda Grignow, who decides that she wants to contribute a new proletarian to the growing society. But she wants to do so without a husband, without a partner, without a father involved, and goes about using eugenically informed methods to do this. Meanwhile, she's creating a communal nursery. So the whole play is a rather chaotic and humorous exploration of themes of eugenics, reproduction, gender, and sexuality at that time.
How did you land on this Tretyakov play, and what are you doing in reimagining it?
So I was doing some research related to the Soviet Union. My father had been a member of the Communist Party for quite a long time, and my parents were both involved. And I was doing some research related to some pins in material culture, and I stumbled upon this play around the time that I was considering having a child. I'm in a queer relationship and was going to go about doing so through artificial reproduction. And I found this play and I thought, wow, what a perfect opportunity to explore these themes historically around the Soviet experiment, while also thinking in a contemporary sense about what it means to intentionally attempt to have a child using technology, using artificial reproductive technology. So my reimagining is, I'm calling it an experimental queer interpretation of the play. So we've taken the play and we've condensed it, we've cut characters, we've collapsed characters. And I don't want to give away too much, but there are some overlays to give context to what was going on at the time, and then some sort of contemporary moments that are laid over the play or inserted into the play. The play centers on this woman who wants to have this baby, but there is a giant hole in the middle of the play, which is her experience of pregnancy. So, which I think is a big oversight of this person, Tretyakov, who wrote the play, who would have never experienced this thing, you know, just kind of leaping over the labor that goes into getting pregnant, carrying a life, bearing a life, birthing a life, and then continuing to take care of that life. All of that goes into that. Breastfeeding, not breastfeeding, having trouble with doing that, having to constantly think about taking care of another dependent person. And so it's a big gap for me, for him to have written this play that, you know, is looking at themes of production and reproduction, and yet totally ignoring, rather flippantly. I mean, it's a funny play, but it's just, there are moments for me where it's like, oh, just breastfeed the kid and then hand it off to the children's home. And I think that that is a big leap over this very important site of this labor that falls on caretakers or mothers or other parent-identified people.
So you mentioned eugenics. You've just talked about labor and pregnancy. I was wondering if you could dive a little bit deeper into, like, what is eugenics and what you're discovering in revisiting the play I Want a Baby by Tretyakov.
Sure. So eugenics is a term that was coined in the late 1800s by this sort of Victorian do-it-all inventor, Francis Galton, who is actually a cousin of Charles Darwin. And other people had thought about this concept, but he coined this term, which is about using a scientific method, a scientific outlook, in order to influence your progeny, what is happening at conception, in order to have a better product, a better baby. And what is a better baby? That comes with all sorts of social organizations and perspectives on science, ability, mental outlook, class, race, gender, sexual, all of these things are contained when you, in this moment of when you look at a baby and say, I want to make a better baby. This movement sort of grew from around the late 1800s and had a real height in the 1910s and 1920s all around the world. The United States, if you look at U.S. immigration policy as it came out in the 1900s, you know, 1918, 1922, it is directly related to these questions of eugenics. What is a good human and who will produce a good human? Who should you let into the country? So it's very much from its inception in various countries tied to, you know, race and class, national origin. So who do we not let in the country and who do we let in and want in? And in the Soviet Union, eugenics was applied in similar ways. It was connected there to, okay, we're envisioning this totally new socialist society that had never been seen in the world before, and thinking about, well, what kinds of humans are going to carry forward this vision of these ethics within the Soviet Union. So there were a lot of similarities and a lot of crossover, but there was a lot of talk around producing laborers, producing people who are not going to be doing socially antisocial behaviors, drinking, gambling, promiscuity, and then also who's going to be a strong contributing laborer, proletarian to the society.
On a similar note, there were at this time better baby contests. Mm-hmm. This is something that you're playing into in your reimagining of the script.
So the final scene of the original play is called Children on Show. And it is this kind of chaotic scene where everyone is gathered at the clubhouse in order to witness a contest of the healthiest baby. These contests existed all across the United States, again, in the 1910s and 1920s in particular. Even if you look at, I think it was 1926, maybe 1928, the Scaticoke Fair, there was a better baby contest, or there were fitter family. It was just this way to bring people into looking at health and aptitude and how to judge if you're being a proper parent to have a child, but also to influence parents who are people who are going to become parents to select proper mates so that they could have this, you know, the perfect type of baby. And these questions still exist today. I mean, the other end of eugenics is, sure, it had this heyday in the 1910s and 1920s. And if you read newspapers from that time, and then you start going into the late 1920s, into the 1930s, and the World War II and the realization of what was going on in Nazi Germany, the world sort of turned away from eugenics, associated it with the things that the Nazi regime was implementing. And actually, they took a lot of what they did straight from the United States policies, because the U.S. instituted policies of sterilization for people who are so-called feeble-minded. It's too much to get into now, but it is related directly to these things that society deemed as not the type of citizen we want. And so it was a policy of control. And yes, I'm not sure about exactly like how better baby, fitter family contests exist today, but certainly sterilization has existed into, for instance, in states like California, into the mid-2000s at the very least, in relation to prisoners. So the world turns its back on eugenics, but part of what I'm looking at is the way that eugenics never disappeared. We may have, you know, said, okay, we don't want to associate with that, but it's the ideas behind it, the science that's there, is still within the ways that we look at tests on babies, questions of, does a child have a so-called disability or not? You know, what's going on with their genes? And then, like me, if you are choosing artificial reproduction technology as a queer person, a single person, whatever leads you to that, if you go to select your sperm, for instance, the categories of selection are directly related to ethnicity, country of origin, you choose eye color, you choose hair color, you're choosing skin color. The donors answer questions around their mental capacities, their IQ tests. These are all things that are directly linked to eugenics.
So interesting. So deep, so many layers. Angela Beeler, we're quickly running out of time, but I just wanted to give you one last word here today on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. You've brought so many people into this project from the community. Tell us again where it is and what you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm.
So yes, MPAC here in Troy, New York, on Friday, April 26th at 7 p.m. It's free and open to the public. It's MG, aka I Want a Baby Reimagined. And yes, these are deep and complex themes, but it's going to be a fun, I think, rollicking presentation of a condensed version of this play. We have a cast of over 12 people. We have sound and dance choreography and, video and a whole host of things that a great number of people are bringing in. If you go to the MPAC website and look on the calendar there, then you can see everyone who is acting, dancing, making projections, making sounds. And I think it's going to be great.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.